With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
A new sound, a new look, and a whole new way to bring you everything Buffalo Bills. Bills Wall of Famer Steve Tasker and the voice of the Bills, John Murphy, bring you One Bills Live. Weekdays noon to 3 right here on the home of the Bills, ESPN Rochester.
You can read his work at thedraftnetwork.com. You can hear him on the Locked On Bills podcast. He is Joe Marino. Go with his time and joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. And Joe, we're going to talk plenty of Bills, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you're in Carolina. If you can, share with us the vibe around the Panthers right now, because it feels like this is really close to imploding on Ron Rivera. It feels like Cam Newton could just walk away from the game. What's your sense of what's happening and what's happened to a team that the Buffalo Bills have kind of modeled themselves after?
Yeah, you know, the challenge for Carolina is just Cam Newton's been injured literally every year since 2015. His MVP season where the Panthers were 15-1, and of course they won the NFC Championship game, and there's a lot of concern about whether he's just done, right? He's had perpetual issues with his shoulder. His foot is a problem right now. His shoulder problems have really forced him to relearn how to throw a football to get enough velocity on it, and that has come at the expense of accuracy. He was already a high-variance passer, and now he can't run. And there's just he's too limited right now with his injuries. I'm not sure what the likelihood that he's going to make a full recovery and really – be able to commit himself back to the game, but there's a lot of concern about the quarterback position in Carolina. I listened to Sports Talk Radio this morning. The fan base is very, very, very concerned, and you know, we're likely not to see Cam Newton this week, and I'm not sure when we're going to see him again or when he's going to be right again. And of course, the elephant in the room is that his contract's up after next season, and so the Cam Newton era feels like it's kind of coming to an end here.
Wow. It'll be Kyle Allen if Cam Newton can't go. And the story today that Ron Rivera storming out of his press conference. I don't know if he actually stormed out, but leaving, not happy with the line of questioning. All right, guest Joe Marino from the Draft Network. I want to talk about, of course, the Bills and Bengals matchup. But, Joe, you have some thoughts also on the Miami Dolphins and what they're doing. And the Dolphins have just named Josh Rosen as their starter. I can understand just stripping it down, but that's the outlier here. Like, why would you trade for Josh Rosen if Josh Rosen right now is in this tremendous position to fail? I don't see how any quarterback could succeed with that line and those skill players, Joe.
It's really challenging to kind of figure this Josh Rosen situation out. First of all, maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick just won the job, right? His ability to execute the offense, his comfort, his leadership, all those types of things, he might have just been more ready, and they felt like the right thing to do was to start Ryan Fitzpatrick. Well, also, you kind of have this thought that Josh Rosen was a first-round quarterback, a top-10 quarterback, you know, a year ago, and that he's got some talent. You need to see what you have in Josh Rosen. And so my thought with this is that I don't think Miami is going to be ready for a quarterback next year. Now, I do think they're going to take a quarterback in the 2020 draft. That's locked in my opinion. But the reality is that rookie quarterback going to be ready to play next year? That's going to be challenging for the Miami Dolphins to get the infrastructure right for them to be able to play a rookie quarterback. And that's why it might be important for Josh Rosen to get some game reps right now, maybe show some talent, be able to buy you some time next year. The worst case scenario, you have a backup in Rosen, and maybe you get a situation here where he plays well enough that somebody will trade for him. So, I don't know. Those are some of my thoughts on this situation, but it's definitely a confusing one.
Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, thedraftnetwork.com as well, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Joe, through 2 weeks of the season, describe what you've seen out of the quarterback play in Buffalo.
Very encouraged by what Josh Allen has put on the field. Obviously, the four turnovers in week one were disappointing. I don't think any Bills fan wanted to see him show that he still had kind of some ball security issues, and those popped up, but to his credit, week two, no turnovers. And so the most encouraging thing for me with Josh Allen is just that he's becoming more consistent in the areas that everybody wanted to see him become more consistent, working the short to intermediate throws, getting the ball out quickly, not really caving under pressure, keeping his eyes downfield, extending plays and making good decisions with the football. And he's still making some throws down the field. Now, it's not those dynamic throws that we saw at the end of last year, but that's going to come. He's really targeting John Brown more in that capacity, and the timing's not quite there yet like it was for him and Robert Foster. And so Bills fans should be quite encouraged by the growth from Josh Allen. Certainly the circumstances around him are improved vastly, literally in every way it possibly could be, from the personnel to the coaching around him, the quarterback's coach, the line coach, wide receiver coach, and in addition to all the additions that Brandon Bean made this offseason, coming together. Josh Allen's playing really well.
Joe, just to kind of give you the vibe up here, I mean, Danger and I have talked about this week. It seems like Bills fans are... they're not buying in. I don't know if it's a byproduct of 2008 or 2011 or other quick starts, or could it be just the yeah, but factor? Yeah, what you're saying is true, but it was the Jets and the Giants, and here come the Bengals, and if the Bills beat the Bengals, the combined record of these three teams, the Buffalo Bills would have defeated, might be 0-9. So should we be measured in that regard when you look at what the Bills faced on the road in the first 2 weeks? I mean, was that even a challenge in your opinion?
Well, I mean, I don't want to sound like an NFL head coach, but winning in the NFL is hard, right? And the way they've done it is what matters to me. Coming back from being down 16 points late in the second half to win that football game, overcoming adversity in terms of the turnovers and just continuing to scratch and claw and find a way to win a football game, and then taking care of business, right? Now that they won the game pretty handily, I know that some Bills fans would have liked to see Sean McDermott be a little bit more aggressive and really try to, have that killer instinct, I guess, in the second half. But I think that some of their own sloppiness got in the way, whether it was a drop by Dawson Knox or some false start penalties that put them behind the sticks early in drives. But they took care of business. And I know that Bills fans are also going to remind you, once the Bills, if the Bills go 3-0 against the Bengals, the last time the Bills were 3-0 was 2011, then they finished the season 6-10. So this is a fan base that has seen hot starts turn into really poor finishes. I certainly understand the caution, but take it 1 week at a time, and I guess put yourself in that coach speak mentality and enjoy what's happening and see where the cards fall after they play all 16 of them.
Joe, I never believe a team is as bad as they look on any given week or as good as they look on any given week. And we've seen kind of Cincinnati look like two different teams from week one to week two. One thing that we have seen is a different Andy Dalton. And I think Zach Taylor being there, an offensive-minded head coach, rather than Marv Lewis for all of the years that Dalton has been in the league. You see Dalton, accumulating more yards through the air, trailing only Patrick Mahomes through 2 weeks of the season. How does Andy Dalton match up against the Buffalo Bills defense this weekend?
Well, think about Andy Dalton. We know who he is. I mean, he's 32 years old, and I think the scheme may help him a little bit, but he's the type of quarterback that's a reasonable starting quarterback in the NFL. You may be able to win if you have a good enough remainder of team, but he's always going to be kind of an average guy. And I don't think even Zach Taylor's scheme is going to, put him into that next tier of quarterback where you win because Andy Dalton's your quarterback. Done a lot of work on the Bengals this week, getting ready, of course, on Locked On Bills. And one thing that really stood out to me is that 51% of his yards that he's achieved this year in passing yards have come after the catch. This team is doing a good job of manufacturing some throws and allowing guys like John Ross with 4.22 speed to create after the catch. So, like I said, 51%. By comparison, the Bills are under 40% when it comes to yards after catch being a percentage of their total passing output. So I think that it's simplified things a bit for Andy Dalton, but the reality is this team can't run the football. They're averaging under 30 yards per game rushing the football. Joe Mixon has, I think, less than 50 total yards on the year. They're averaging 1.8 yards per carry, and I think Andy Dalton needs that. He needs that run game to be part of what's going to make him successful, making dynamic throws and being able to really make plays in the passing game to keep the offense on schedule. So they're not scoring. They're last in the red zone touchdown scoring percentage, but they are converting third down. So it's really a small sample size. You're getting some, kind of some highs and lows with it. But I think at the end of the day, this is a new system that's accentuating some of what Andy Dalton can do best. But there's not enough around him right now for him really to take the next step.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. You can also read his work on the Draft Network. Joe, as far as the Bills' running game, and right now, kind of looking like Devin Singletary will not be available again another day where he did not practice with his team. We'll know for sure tomorrow, perhaps. But
Joe, looking at the Bengals' run defense, even if it is Gore and Yeldon, do you see opportunity going against Cincinnati's defense, judging by what San Francisco did last week?
I'll say this about Cincinnati. They've got a very good defensive line. I mean, a quality starter at every position. I like some of the reserves as well. That's not their problem. Their problems are linebackers. They've got Preston Brown, a player I know Bills fans are very familiar with, and Nick Vigil. Both of those are slower linebackers. They may be smart, but they're always kind of a step behind. And they get kind of hung up in traffic, and they're not flowing to the football very effectively right now. And so you really kind of look at this Bengals defense and see a lot of opportunity if you can create some misdirection. You can work off tackle and really stress the range of a slow pair of linebackers. And they've only played two of them this year. The only other linebacker that's taken a snap for them is Jermaine Pratt, and he's played three snaps. They're in nickel defense almost exclusively. They're playing those two linebackers. They don't have great range. Buffalo will be wise to really challenge it.
What about the offensive line? I mean, we know how banged up, especially the left side of the offensive line. You hear Cordy Glenn is out. I mean, that's something that I think Bills fans are used to hearing as well. You know, what kind of matchups can the Bills exploit defensively against a banged up offensive line? Will they be able to get added pressure on Andy Dalton? We'll be able to see, you know, the pass rush get to the quarterback a little bit more than we were able to see in weeks one and weeks two.
Well, Andy Dalton's been sacked nine times this year, and they're averaging 1.8 yards per carry. Now, part of that's the offensive line's fault. They've been banged up. This offensive line does not look anything like what they've envisioned going into the year with the injuries, like you mentioned, Cordy Glenn, their first-round pick, Jonah Williams, isn't available. Billy Price, a first-round pick from 2017, has been benched, but he's probably going to start this week because of injuries. And so it's kind of a makeshift group right now. Not at all their preferred starting five. And the challenge for me kind of watching this football team is they want to run a lot of wide zone. But they don't necessarily have the offensive linemen that profile well to running wide zone. Not guys with great lateral mobility. They got some longer guys, but they don't necessarily move well. And when you're running wide zone, it requires a lot of timing and cohesion from the front five to really block in that space, create those creases. And then, of course, your running backs being able to anticipate creases and hit them effectively. There's a lot of timing and rhythm and communication and execution that's just not happening in this Bengals rushing attack. And part of that's because of their undermanned offensive line. And, you know, it's going to be a big point of emphasis for them this week. They're going to want to come out and really try to fix that run game. And I'm sure they're going to try to do it. So, you know, they don't want to be bad at running the football. They're going to work to improve it. I'm just not sure that the ingredients are in place for that to really be effective starting this week.
Joe, what is the end game for the Bills' offensive line? Because I don't think any of us expected Cody Ford to be in a rotation, but here he is. But then I don't think any of us really expected what John Feliciano has done here through the first two games at the right guard position. So your thoughts on Feliciano when you look at the film, what kind of job he's doing, and at some point do you think this Ford and Secchi rotation, is that something that the Bills will live with, or would they be better off served down the road here for Ford just to win the job outright?
Yeah, what was the buzzword Brandon Bean said all offseason about these offensive linemen? That he wanted to bring in guys with an edge. And we've seen that from John Feliciano probably as much as we have any of the Bills' offensive linemen. Just moving bodies, finding work, really bringing a physical component, that mauler mentality to the Bills' offensive line. That's everything they've been wanting in some of these players, but was missing last year when they lost Incognito and Wood and Cordy Glenn. So I think he's really kind of locked himself into that spot. And now that goes to that situation there at right tackle, where it is this rotation between Nsekhe and Ford. And, you know, look, the Bills have scored, has six touchdown drives this year. On five of those, Ty Nsekhe was the right tackle. I mean, the offense is more effective when Ty Nsekhe's in the game. And then you kind of look at both of the games, the Jets game and the Giants game. In the second half, you start to see some sloppy false start penalties from that right tackle spot, whether it's been Nsekhe or Ford. I blame that on the rotation. Mm-hmm. These guys are not staying within the rhythm of the game. And it's causing some dead ball fouls that are absolutely preventable. And so I think the Bills would be wise to settle in on one of them. I think the better player is Nsekhe. Ford's really struggled with speed. The guy he got toasted for on a sack against the Giants is Marcus Golden. Marcus Golden's like in his fifth year in the NFL. He ran a 4.9 at the combine. The fastest day of his life, he ran 4.9. Right? Ford's just going to struggle with speed. We've seen that throughout the course of camp, preseason, now in games, and the reality is, I know the Bills invested a high second-round pick in him, but if he's not one of the best five starting offensive linemen, then they don't need to play him. I'd like to see them go with Ty Nsekhe at right tackle exclusively.
Interesting. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Joe, if Devin Singletary can't go, will Gore and Yeldon be enough in the Bills' run game?
I think so. I mean, those are veteran players. I mean, obviously Frank Gore is experienced as it gets in the NFL, and T.J. Yeldon, he's played, you know, four seasons in Jacksonville, a multifaceted guy that can win as a receiver and a runner, played plenty of football. I mean, obviously, if somebody gets hurt, you're really thin there. But the Bills have kind of been a pass-first offense, and running the ball has been an afterthought. We haven't seen T.J. Yeldon touch the football yet in two games, and so. You know, I think it's going to be the Frank Gore show, and if Devin Singletary can't go, you'll see those 5 to 11 touches a game that we've been seeing Devin Singletary get go to T.J. Yeldon, and the Bills' offense will be fine. Now, everybody wants to see Singletary. He's been so fun, 12.7 yards per carry, touchdown. He's catching the football well, so we want to see him play, but I don't think it's a big blow for the Bills' offense given the depth that they have in T.J. Yeldon.
Joe, quick thought here. Have you given any thought to a score for this game? And I haven't given a final score yet, but I'll say this. I don't like the Bills to cover this week. Just the fact that Cincinnati doesn't want to see their season go sideways coming in at 0-2. I expect a close game, but then you lay out some reasons why the Bills might pull away. So, you know, what do you say? What do you think about this week's matchup?
Well, I feel like a lot of the questions you guys gave me was really put on a tee for me to accentuate some of the Bills' advantages, and I think there are some reasonable things that Cincinnati has in terms of their secondary. I think it's a really good group. I think they have a good pass rush, and they have some, you know, a guy in John Ross that just has crazy speed that's going to be able to really impact a football game just by touching the football one time. Joe Mixon hasn't got it going, but he's a talented back. I mean, in terms of traits, he's top 10 in the NFL. So there are things that Cincinnati has, right? Obviously, Buffalo going back home first time. The fan base is going to be electric, all of those things, but I think the Bills win this football game. I do think you make a good point that Cincinnati could cover. I think the spread is 5.5, but you know, a close win for Buffalo at home feels right to me.
Joe Marino pumping out the content of the Buffalo Bills on the draftnetwork.com, also the Locked On Bills podcast. And Joe, real quick, you're gracious with your time. I want to make sure you have plenty of time to let our listeners know where they can hear more of your work, read more of your work as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Host a daily podcast, Locked On Bills. You can find it on all the podcasting mediums, so would appreciate you checking that out. Of course, the written work comes on the draftnetwork.com. My Twitter handle is @TheJoeMarino, where you can keep track of it all.
Joe, appreciate the time. Let's do this again real soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Joe Marino, thedraftnetwork.com. The Locked On Bills podcast, some great insight there on the Buffalo Bills, and some great insight there not only in the Bills, but on the Dolphins and what they've got going on and being in Carolina. He's close to the epicenter, the blast zone. He's watching it all fall apart for the Carolina Panthers, which, you know, listen, I whatever you think about Cam Newton, the NFL is more fun with Cam Newton on the field. It's going to be unfortunate if he misses time. It's going to be unfortunate if it gets even worse than that, and he walks away from the game.
Ron Rivera not handling this the right way, too, where he lets emotion spill over in his Thursday press conference today. I just asked you to ask me questions about someone else. I'm not going to do this anymore. I told you I won't do anything tomorrow. Thank you. He storms off and then adds as he's storming off, golly. Golly.
Golly.
You figured a swear. Drop a... But gee whiz, daggummit. Daggummit, these reporters, golly.
Let's get to NFL appetizers next in the sports bar. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouthwatering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years, online at alexsribs.com. The Dolphins have made a couple of moves that we'll tell you about that have broken here in the last hour or so.
Yeah. So the Dolphins... Yeah, actually picking up someone to help them. I cannot believe it. We'll tell you about Joe Mixon's status for this week's game. Cam Newton will go more into that as well. And, yeah, why the Giants are bringing some drama on themselves today down in New York City.
All right, that's all on the way. NFL appetizers on the way next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports League. ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.